Today in Movie Rollers, we talk about Novocaine and Black Bag. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, this is Yazdi.
And Rashmi as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news, and general banter. In theatres, on DVD, online streaming, or in the back of an airplane, you love the movies, this show is for you. You did it this time, didn't you?
I did it this time.
Okay, you messed it up, you mixed it up.
I did, and Yazdi took the cue.
He did. That was a really good yes and
there. And I was multitasking.
I know. Because Yazdi can multitask.
No, if you didn't listen to our last episode, those are all references to things that have been. First of all, why not? Listen. Don't just listen when there's a movie that you want to watch. Listen to all our episodes. They're good.
This is true, yes.
That was fun. Okay, so we are here to talk about two movies and also this wonderful mochi cake that Yazdi made.
Yeah, Joe, I don't often ever see you ask for a second slice of cake. Honestly, Yazdi,
it's a very cake.
It's from a box from Trader Joe's, but I've made it before and it's really good.
No, but you added things in to make it more delicious.
I added some passion fruit, real passion fruit.
Yeah,
which courtesy of Victoria and Steve. It's from their garden.
Thank you, Victoria and Steve.
Yes.
Mm. It's so unusual.
Yeah.
I've never had like mochi cake
and
before.
It's not super sweet. Delicious.
Yeah.
Yazdi is a good baker.
I am a good baker.
You're really good.
I'm an okay baker.
You're
baking.
A good baker, I think.
I like baking.
You can say you're a good baker.
Okay, I'm a good baker.
It's a master baker.
Yes. I'm a master baker. Baker!
It's a very interesting texture, this cake, though. I'm really quite enjoying it.
It's very chewy. Yeah,
Joe,
love
I'm
it.
Just shocked.
If you like chewy
you just
things,
never love cake. Yes.
Thank you for sharing.
Yes.
Of course.
Okay.
Netflix picks.
Only two movies this week, so we do have time to talk about our usual segment of I can't find anything to watch on video on demand. So while I quickly go and find something to watch on video demand to recommend, you two can tell me what's been in your streaming queues.
I will. My number three movie of 2025 was a movie that we all saw together in the beautiful Egyptian theater in Los Angeles, and it was the Indian movie Kill.
Yay!
Which, as I mentioned at that time, I'm not a fan of bloodletting. I'm not a fan of extremely violent films. But I've seen that movie now in theater twice, and it's so good.
It's
and that
movie, so good.
That movie Kill, K-I-L-L, is available on streaming on Hulu for free. If you have Hulu, you can watch it. It's not for the squeamish. When it's violent, it gets violence, but there is so much righteous bloodletting, right? When bad things happen, this guy's out to get revenge.
Yeah.
It's almost like Rambo-like in terms of it's like undeterred determination to exact revenge.
Yeah.
And it's so good. It's hermetically sealed. The whole movie... Most of the movie happens on a train ride. Stick through the first 20 minutes of the movie until they get on the train, and then you're in for a ride.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think we said during the Muggies, and we said it after we saw it, this is kind of like John Wick meets Bullet Train meets...
Speed, maybe.
Yeah, a little bit of speed in there. Yeah, it's great.
It was bonkers.
It's bonkers good.
Unhinged and very, very...
So playing on Hulu, right?
Playing on Hulu, yes.
Yeah. Okay, and I have a really good pick too. The movie Heretic, which with Hugh Grant. And this is about two young missionaries who are forced to prove their faith when they knock on the wrong door and they're greeted by a diabolical Mr. Reed, who's played by Hugh Grant. This is so good. This was on my list to watch last year, and I just never got around to it. It's running still at 91% on the tomato meter. It's a horror as such, but it's actually more than that. It's a really good exploration of what is faith and what is religion and what religions mean. It's so good. It's so good. I really want Joe to watch this because a lot of our discussions around the dining table are about religion and organized, you know, Are they cults? Are they, what do they provide for people? And this just does that so beautifully, but it's also gory and horror-esque.
Yeah.
It's a thriller.
Have
you watched it yesterday?
Yes. And I don't want to over intellectualize it, which you absolutely should after you watch it. But I think you should just watch it as a good suspense horror movie.
Yeah.
At that level.
Did you like it?
I was a little disappointed with the conclusion because I was expecting, I don't want to give anything away. Yeah. I was expecting a little more twist to it.
Okay.
It just became kind of more generic towards the end.
Yeah.
But the first hour and a half are just brilliant.
Brilliant.
It's such a good cat and mouse.
It's so good.
And it's playing with your head. And there are some genuinely creepy, not creepy, like it's not going to make you lose sleep. But in the moment, you're like, wah!
Yeah.
And Hugh Grant, like, okay, you know, Hugh Grant only always does Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
But
he's not Hugh Grant in this.
Yeah, but if you doubt his versatility, see what he's doing here.
I mean,
he's, I don't know, he's a good actor, damn it.
He's a damn good actor. So, yeah.
And he, you know, it's so much on display because he's, I think, in every scene of the movie. Maybe not, but yeah, he's amazing. So people should watch Heretic.
Yeah. Joe.
Yeah.
I was able to find a pick, and that is one of my favorite movies from last year, coming out on March 21st on the streaming service Max, which is HBO, whatever it is. Mm. And that's the movie Sing Sing.
Oh!
Three Academy Award nominations for the movie, Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Original Song, and Best Actor for Colman Domingo. Sing Sing is about a group of incarcerated men who form a theater group.
Based on a real story.
Based on a real story.
Of the guy who's actually in the movie.
The guy whose story it is in the movie. It was one of the most emotionally wrenching movies for me, not in the moment, but at the end. And I think, you know, I was pretty choked up about it for a good few days after following. So it's not a happy movie in the sense of... you know, it's not kind of a joyful theater movie if you're expecting that, but it is a wonderful exploration of people, of morality, of society, of incarceration.
Redemption. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, it affected me quite strongly because, you know, from time to time, I kind of dehumanize the whole idea of prison. I'm like, you know, throw them in there and lock away the key. And that's not who I am. And that's not how, it's not how we should be, but you know, this movie gets under your skin, very powerful.
And I agree that it's not ha ha funny at any point. It's a very serious movie, but I think it. I'm not giving anything away. It leaves you with the slightest glimmer of hope.
Yes.
So it's not like just, you know, life sucks and we are all going to die, right? It kind of is being hopeful about being hopeful.
Absolutely.
At the very end. And I love that.
Absolutely. It's note perfect. And, you know, it's not for everyone. But
yeah. I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah. Okay. So, Rashmi, your pick was?
Heretic on Netflix.
Yazdi, you had?
I had Kill on Hulu.
And my pick was Sing Sing from March 21st. You can catch that on Max. Okay, review time. So let's talk about our two movies, Novocaine and Black Bag. We'll tackle them in that order.
Allow me to introduce Novocaine. So Novocaine is by directors Dan Beck and Robert Olson. They each individually have directed a lot of films. I believe this is their first collaboration together. It's based on a story from writer Lars Jacobsen, and it stars Jack Quaid in the title role, along with Amber Mid-Thunder. Mid-Thunder, I like that last name. I want my last name. Henceforth, call me Yazdi Mid-Thunder. Anyway, Ray Nicholson, Jacob Batalon, and a few others. And the premise for the movie sounds wonderful to me. I love these kinds of high gimmick concepts.
Mm-hmm.
So when the girl of his dreams is kidnapped, a man incapable of feeling physical pain turns his rare condition into an unexpected advantage in the fight to rescue her. I am a fan of Jack Quaid.
Yeah.
I think he, you know, he's been around for a while. He's been doing great stuff, both on television as well as in movies. He was in that romantic comedy which we watched at Tribeca.
The Date, something.
The Date, right.
Yeah, no, it wasn't The Date. It was called like...
They go to different weddings. Yeah. Anyway, this is the first time that I'm seeing him like in an, dare I say, action movie, comedy action movie kind of lead. So I'm glad to see him get a lead role. You guys both saw it. Do I need to...
Plus one.
That was the movie.
That was the movie.
Do I need to stop recording this podcast and rush out and watch it?
Rush me.
Oh, no. Is it too much?
No, it's not a rush out and see, but it's definitely, if you're not doing anything next weekend, then put this on your calendar. This is a fun caper, which is kind of like John Wick, but funny in some ways. It's got some good twists and turns. It's well acted, great effects, absolutely great effects, gruesome violence. The whole concession in this movie is that Jack Quaid plays this character who you can do anything to and he just doesn't feel the pain. And so that's the concession of the movie, right? There wouldn't be a movie if that character didn't exist. So I'm grappling with the, almost like the movie we did last time, the one I was talking about where the one concession, you know, it's like...
The Last Breath?
Yeah, The Last Breath. If there wasn't that one event that hadn't happened, then you wouldn't have the movie. So it's kind of a one-note movie, but it's done really, really well, I think. And it's a fun ride. It's very enjoyable. It's high energy. It's got a really high energy about it. So again, it's not a rush out and see, but I think you should watch this.
Okay.
Joe?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a very small movie, and it feels... Don't take this the wrong way, because I know you hated it yesterday, but it feels reminiscent of Love Hurts in the sense of it's that small,
yeah,
early filmmaker. It's not like a big production like a John Wick or anything like that.
Yeah,
it's got a very homemade feel in some ways, and the outrage.
But it's a man on a quest like John Wick.
The
you know,
the outrageousness of the special effects at times is. You know, it's like, yeah, you could have dialed that one back a little bit for more impact. You know, it's what was it? I think was it Tarantino who kind of said, you know, if you see somebody's head get blown off, you don't feel anything, but if you see someone with a paper cut, you're like, they went too far on some of them. This kind of thing. But it does work. It's very, very earnest, right?
Yeah.
This movie is really, really. They've taken a concept that could be a short movie, and they've expanded it into a full-length feature, and it doesn't quite work at all times. But there's an earnestness to the characters.
And a sweetness.
A sweetness to the characters. The plot worked really well for me.
I mean,
it had its twists and turns, and genuinely had me a gasp at one point. I was like, what?
Yeah.
So it really earns its likes.
It
feels like it's hardworking, and it really wants to be a fun, entertaining movie, and it's not perfect, and it's a little underwritten, and the characters are a little clunky, and it plays out for the most part as you'd expect it to, but it's working so hard to be fun, and I admire it for that.
It's Jack Quaid's journey, but it's more of like just an event that happens, and then we kind of follow the caper. There's like an inciting incident, and then we follow the story. There's not like a huge arc.
So I want to call back Love Hurts. Because,
yeah,
you know, yesterday you said the chemistry between the two leads there didn't work for you at all. If it had, it would have been like this.
Yeah, right? That's true.
There is, you know, there's a guy in love with a girl who needs at all costs. To help rescue her, and
he's the one who needs rescuing.
He's the one who needs rescuing. He's not skilled
emotionally
in so many ways.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, you know, as the movie goes through its plots and twists, he's not a hero. He's not an action hero, but he needs to, and at whatever cost it is to him, he needs to be the hero here. And so it works wonderfully well.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun with it.
It's just such a fun Friday night decompress movie, right? This is the one where you have a few beers and you go see it with your mates.
Sure.
No, I think it's more...
But it's sweet.
It's more earnest than
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
I would say this should have been the movie that
I think
Love
this is a Yazdi movie. Yeah. There's a bit of romance.
I'll watch it.
Yeah.
There was an Indian movie which came out in 2018 called Mard Ko Dard Nahi Hota, which means the man who cannot feel pain.
Oh.
That literally is the premise of this movie, which is about this young man who realizes he has congenital insensitivity. He cannot feel any pain. I haven't seen the movie, but a lot of people have said it's very funny.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. There's some similarity in the plot there.
Yeah. Okay, so let's score.
Yeah, I had super fun with this. It is. I should warn people. I mean, it earns every minute of its R rating. I mean, it is really
it's gruesome.
Violent.
It's gruesome.
It's really violent.
Yeah.
I just rewatched RoboCop this morning. Not the full movie, but we had our TV blew up, so we got a new TV, and I put RoboCop on to look at the picture. And there's a scene in RoboCop where, the original RoboCop from the 80s, where arms get blown off and...
Yeah.
It's Paul Verhoeven level of kind of violence. I could have dialed that back a little bit because I don't think this movie needed it. It would have been a lot more exciting. It could have been a PG-13 and been just as fun. But nonetheless, I liked it a lot. 8 out of 10.
Okay. I liked it a lot too.
You're very generous.
Yeah, I was
today.
Gonna say for me it's a 7.
Because this was fun. This was really fun.
Okay, good.
Yeah. For me it's a 7. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It was the escapism I needed in the moment.
Just,
I had a horrible work at week
super
at work.
Fun.
And I was just like, this put a big smile on my face.
Yeah. Good. It's really cute.
Good.
Yes, I want you to see this.
I will.
Okay.
Movie number 2
which
of the
I'm
week,
so
then,
excited to talk to you about.
Black Bag.
Okay, and I have the intro. So when intelligence agent Catherine Woodhouse is suspected of betraying the nation, her husband, also a legendary agent, faces the ultimate test of whether to be loyal to his marriage or his country. This is directed by Steven Soderbergh, who seems to be putting them out like constantly, right?
He has two. Oh yeah, he quit like 3 years ago. But
yeah,
he's
and then
been doing
2 years.
Just this year, he's released. This is the second movie in March.
What was the first one?
It's a horror movie called Presence, which came out in January, which was very well reviewed. We never saw it.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, that's also because we're chicken.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, and it's written by David Cope. This has a wonderful cast, including Michael Fassbender, Kate Blanchett, Marissa Abella, who we saw in the... Amy Winehouse movie last year, Naomi Harris, Martin Bassendale, Gustav Skarsgård, another Skarsgård sibling child here, Tom Burke, Regé Jane Page, who we haven't seen since Bridgerton, and a whole host of others, including Pierce Brosnan, actually, is here.
Yes.
So when spy meets spy, what did you think of this? Yazdi, kick us off.
I can talk about this for an hour. I'll just start by saying I really, really liked it. I think there is a shortage of good, smart, beautiful looking intellectual spy movies. Right? I mean, most spy movies either go like overly like silly and tacky, or they might go for like really heavy stuff like Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. This one is tongue-in-cheek. Soderbergh knows his way around, a spy movie. I mean, he's done hundreds of them. I mean, he re-energized the whole Ocean's 11 franchise. He's done, what else did he do? He's done Lucky Logan. He knows his way around a heist movie, around like a movie where, different people are kind of playing a game. You don't know who's telling the truth. But there is something so polished and gleaming and brainy and fun about it that even though it's a small movie, it felt like I really came out so happy with this movie. I have a few small little things to pick on, but this movie just made me happy.
Yeah, this is excellent film craft. I mean, the movie, it just gets into it from the opening scene. There's no kind of preamble setting the stage. It's just like we are into this little world which took a little adjusting to because the characters were very they were characters, right? You knew what they were about, and you didn't quite believe them, but you don't have to because they're characters in a movie. It's like the movie Clue, right? You know, you have the doctor, and you have the, you know, everyone is who they are with integrity and their behavior. So, but it weaves its little puzzle and web so intricately and so perfectly. And even when I'm kind of puzzling my way out of putting it all together, because the movie was above me, I never caught up with it until the very end.
Me too.
So, you know, maybe so. Okay, then I don't feel quite as stupid, because I think there were clues that I think could have helped me thread it together. But it was well ahead of me all the way. So yeah, really, really clever, beautifully written, well executed. Like I say, this is like a masterclass in film.
Yeah,
this is what. This should be held up at film school. It's like, you kind of want to get to this.
I love this movie. So first of all, I think this is Soderbergh's audition for Bond. I really hope that Soderbergh gets to do a Bond movie.
I don't want this to be the Bond.
I would love to see him do a Bond.
But
that's what I'm saying.
I don't want this to be the flavor.
No. But I'm just saying, I think this kind of spy thriller, action, you know, intrigue is his, you know, I hope this is his audition to make the direct the next Bond. I love the fact that opening scene is one shot, right? It's one take. We're following a character. We're following all the way. It's like a good, I would say, 7 minute opening.
I don't think I appreciated that.
It's a good seven minutes.
The camera just follows
him.
Going
it's just following,
through.
Going up and down. It was like the Scorsese shot in Goodfellas, right? When they're walking through the restaurant.
You know, that night
phenomenal.
Going through it. It's all a single take.
I need to see it again just for that, because I didn't see that in the moment.
Yeah. So I love that. I love it. This is so stylish and
so stylish,
polished, like you said, Yasti. This has one of the best wardrobes I've seen in a movie ever. Like, I was just looking at Kate Blanchett and all the women's characters and thinking, I want this in my wardrobe. Like, that's a really nice way to put that outfit together. Phenomenal. And I love that Kate Blanchett is playing so against type. Like, she's always Kate Blanchett, but she's this kind of, like, you know, arrogant, long dark hair, sexy spy, you know, who doesn't want to be her? So I just love this. I think it's a really fun story. Fassbender is always great. You know, he's so good in this. It's got oodles of style, but in a good way. Marissa Abella is so good. Naomi Harris is so good.
Naomi Harris,
Regé Jean, like everyone is playing, and then there's these wonderful
Tom
scenes.
Burke,
there's these wonderful scenes. I love that kind of Clue is a good way to describe it, Joe. Clue is a really good call out. There's this wonderful scene when they're all at the dinner table and someone's lying, and you don't know who's lying. And I love that kind of cat and mouse. It's very, very good.
So the movie starts with that premise that Michael Fassbender's character is told by an agent that there
someone's
are,
lying.
That amongst this group of six people who he's going to have over for dinner, one of them is lying, one of them is a spy, and it includes his wife.
Yes.
That's how the movie begins, and he invites these people over for dinner.
Yes.
Just the conversation around the dinner, I could just listen to them talk for like hours.
Yes.
So David Cope and Soderbergh have a great collaboration. He's written lots of movies, but this is a very evolved piece of work.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And the production, the houses, the offices, where is this in London? Where is this house in London?
So
I mean,
every place that they go to, it's so stylish. Every place that they go to seems to have these angular pieces, right? The walls are angular, the ceilings are angular.
Yeah, there's a tree growing in the middle of the house that you can look at from all sides of the house. Just beautiful.
And then he does this weird thing which was bothering me at first, and it really bothered me while I was watching the movie. But then when I came out of it, I'm like, why not? It's a stylistic choice.
Absolutely.
Where there is this diffused light at all the time. And it really bothered me because I couldn't see people's faces because there were these lamps or giant orbs which are just like kind of diffused, and maybe something was wrong with my contacts, but it's so stylish.
Yeah, but it's not style without
Yeah.
Like without style without substance, yeah. Right? The dialogue here is so rich and spicy and fruity. Just the way that everyone talks to each other and the depth of which they talk about and how the characters, how the kind of show don't tell in essence of the way the dialogue is constructed that tells you the history of the relationships between each of these characters. That's what made me marvel a lot.
And, you know, we have seen 100 spy movies. We've seen 100 Bond movies. But we have never seen one where the lead, in this case, Michael Fassbender, is playing it so close to his chest. He never raises his voice in the movie.
Yeah.
He's very, very reserved and impenetrable. And, you know, he speaks softly. And even when he finally, in the last act, he never raises his voice. And I think that was a very, you know, it's kind of breaking the mold and the expectation of how your lead character should behave. He's so debonair and so like cultured, and you know, he's almost beyond yelling, and yet he has it all figured out by the end. And it's and yeah, Cate Blanchett is almost always you know, the lead, the tiger who is going to eat everybody else up in all the movies she's in.
Yeah.
Here she's not that tiger who's going to eat everybody up, but she's no rabbit either.
Correct.
You know, and her relationship with her husband is always a big question mark. Like, it's playing with Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but it's so much more smart and stylish and savvy and sexy and clever.
Yeah. Those three-piece suits.
Yeah.
My God, the wardrobe just blew me away.
Yeah,
no, it's so expertly crafted. I think this must have had like 1,000 rewrites.
Yeah.
Because
so tight.
It is airtight. And every scene, and it's like 90 minutes. So every single line of dialogue adds something to the plot. There's no fluff in here at all.
No.
And you have to keep up, right? I'm not saying it's difficult to keep up, but you have to pay attention. It demands your attention. And because it's so well done, it gets your attention, right? I was a little frustrated in that, you know, this is one of those movies I need to see with subtitles, just because there's so much rich dialogue and there are words that I missed. And you know, there are, you know, maybe people's accents, maybe it was the sound in the movie theater, there's some distraction going on around us. I was kind of, you know, the person sitting next to me, you know, had felt the need to, well, dispensing that to you, Rashmi,
it was
think,
yeah
felt the need to narrate her. No, felt the need to narrate her thoughts.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, she's like, oh my God. You know, so.
Oh, yeah. I remember her. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was next to the talking couple.
And I was just like, I don't want to tell her to shut up, but I want to tell her to shut up. Because, you know, she's just being in the moment. And she straddled that line of not being quite annoying enough for me to kind of, you know, shut up. This is not your living room. But
I mean, this writer, David Kopp, he's written Jurassic Park, the original one. He was the only writer for it, the screenplay. He wrote Death Becomes Her.
I love Death Becomes Her.
You know, he wrote the original Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise. He wrote Snake Eyes, that movie. He wrote Panic Room. I mean, this is a writer who for 20 plus years has been honing his craft and has written tons of classic movies right now, and you can see the evolved nature of the writing in this movie.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. The only thing I didn't like about the movie was the music. It just seemed...
Oh, no. I was going to call that out.
For me, it just felt too jazzy. It felt too...
stylized.
Yeah, but it almost felt like... You know, you can improvise, but this seemed too improvised to me. But I don't know, maybe it's just me expecting a certain kind of music for a movie about spies versus spies, and it didn't provide that. And so maybe I'm commenting, but yeah, it's great.
To me, it just added to the texture of the movie. Yeah. It was unusual. It got your attention. You noticed it.
Yeah.
You know, and that may be a good or a bad thing. I think in your case, a bad thing. But for me, I'm like, you know, this is a very stylishly put together music. It's like you have that kind of jazzy feel to the Oceans, you know, bongos playing and all of that kind of, 60s spy sound. it played out like a heist as well. I mean,
yeah,
I think it owes a debt of gratitude to the Ocean's movies and that, you know, Soderbergh got to do that thing really well with the multiple characters and the multiple threads and the coming together.
There's just this great montage of all the characters going through a polygraph test.
Yeah. The editing
in this movie is absolutely beautiful. I don't normally notice editing, but this one, again, really, really stood out to me. I really enjoyed this. I can wrap this up. This is a 9 out of 10 for me.
Yeah. 8.5 out of 10, which, what the heck? I would have downgraded to an 8, but I'm going to do a 9. And I'll tell you why I'm going to do a 9. This movie was made with $50 million. That's it, right? It was made with, and this includes all the salaries and the cost of production.
With this cast. Goodness, man.
And my thing is, Soderbergh is churning these out, and we don't seem to appreciate that we are living in the time of, you know, Soderbergh putting out one is so varied and different movies.
Yeah.
The movie, in its opening weekend, it made less than $1 million.
What?
Right? So I think they're doing a slow release, like a tiered release, but if people who like good cinema don't go out and watch movies like Black Bag, then you will be stuck with, you know, I don't know, the 17th sequel of Pirates of the Caribbean or some rubbish horror movie. When there's good, smart, stylish, well put together cinema, we need to support it. So people, please go watch Black Bag.
Yeah.
Support all these wonderful actors and this amazing filmmaker who should be celebrated more.
Yeah.
You get a nine as well.
Yeah.
Okay, Joe.
Yeah, another 9 from me. This is really, really fun. It's polished to a fine sheen, and it's perfection in the sense of I have no criticisms of it. It's so compact and tight and water sealed and efficient. It feels like very efficient filmmaking here. There's no bloat. There's no in the writing. There's no bloat in the acting. The actors do their thing. They have one kind of note to play most of the time, but when they change, you believe. Just fabulous stuff. And I didn't get it. And I was so happy at the end when it all played out.
Because it
did with integrity. There were no MacGuffins and there were no sleights of hand.
Correct.
There was nothing introduced at the last minute. You know, the god, what is it called?
Ex Machina.
Yeah, thank you.
Deus Ex Machina. The level of confidence in this movie is reflected in how it ends. It's not a movie where the last 20 minutes is New York City being destroyed endlessly, where things are just blowing up and people are shooting at each other and you don't know who's doing whom. The movie ends at a dinner table with just the right, perfect, snappy,
quick,
note perfect ending, and that's it.
Yeah.
And then it gets out of Dodge.
Right.
Yeah. And it's efficient.
Like it's not you don't need like this building crescendo of violence and everybody's hanging from the walls or anything. It's in and out. It's so efficiently done and with so much confidence.
And no 25 epilogues. Like it just ends where
Yeah.
It's so much fun. Oh, good. I'm glad you guys enjoyed it.
Me too.
I was sitting in my seat with that like little giddy feeling that you get when you've seen something really good.
Yeah.
You know.
And I love that Naomi Harris, who's been in all the Bond movies, and you know, Marissa Abella, who played Amy Winehouse, they really get to shine. I mean, they have their own individual little roles, but both of them are so good in their roles, right? Naomi Harris plays this, psychiatrist?
Yeah.
It imagines a spy world, which I don't know how close it is to truth, but it was so educational to me. I'm like, oh, I didn't know this happened. Like if you as a spy do certain things, then you are required to spend certain number of sessions with a psychologist. And I just,
it was the, just
but
everything.
Smaller roles.
Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
Tom Burke, who we last saw in Furiosa, driving the rig in Stowaway.
Oh yeah.
You know, he
has a major role here. He's so good.
But he doesn't. Yeah, right. And so it's just. Yeah, it's all really good, fun stuff.
It's very good, very, very good.
People, watch Black Bag.
Yeah, Black Bag. Black Bag is the winner.
That's a great early 2025 movie.
Yeah.
Again, I think one that's going to sit on the list for the rest of the year. I wish Soderbergh did play the Get the Awards game in some way. I mean, I feel like this is one that might be, might be overlooked as we get through the rest of the year, just because, you know, things do get drowned out with the noise, but stay with me. Yeah. Okay. Let's wrap up for today. Thank you for listening to Movie Wallace. We appreciate you. Yasti, thank you for the mochi cake.
And the lovely pistachios. It's quite tasty.
Yes.
We will be back again, hopefully not too long from now, with more reviews. It's picking up.
We've got,
I think, 3 or 4 screenings this week.
Yeah. So
the momentum is back. And that, I hope that is a good sign for the year, because I keep hearing of theaters going away. We lose another theater in San Diego. So stop listening to the podcast. Go watch a movie, people.
Yeah.
That's what I will say.
And he may have a third movie coming out before the end of 2025. So anyway.
Soderbergh.
It's called The Christophers.
He is a workaholic.
Anyway, here he is.
Yeah.
All right. Too many movies, too little time. Then a goodbye from me.
And me.
And me as well.